The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in on a Tuesday. We appreciate all of you being here. And there is a lot of news, and some of it just breaking out of Tuscaloosa. We'll get to all of it this afternoon. And if you haven't seen this, it broke just a few minutes ago. Darius Miles texted Brandon Miller to bring the gun used to kill Jamea Joan Harris, according to police. That is an AL.com story. And it is setting the college basketball world on its ear, primarily based on what Nate Oates said this afternoon. He said Brandon Miller, who is only arguably one of the best players in the country on the number two team, was in wrong spot at wrong time the night of the killing. Nate Oates.
Yeah, I mean, we've known the situation since it's been. We've been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. I mean, it's the whole situation's sad. I mean, you just think of it. We team closed practice with a prayer for the situation today. Again, knowing that we had this trial today, I mean, you think of Jamea and her family and Kane. Really think about her son Kane that was left behind. So it's sad. We knew about that. I mean, can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor has he been in any type of trouble in this case. Like, in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So we'll address it when I'm sure NBA scouts will ask. They do their homework. But yeah, I'm going to thank the article that it came out and also stated Brandon's been interviewed. He's comfortable with everything that happened there.
And the reaction to what Nate Oates said has been widely criticized from coast to coast, from national writers to regional commentators. Even in that market, John Talty, the senior sports editor of AL.com, just tweeting a minute ago, regardless of whether Brandon Miller legally did anything wrong, bringing a gun resulted in the death of a human being isn't, quote-unquote, wrong spot at wrong time. This is more from John Talty from AL.com. I'm still flabbergasted. Nate Oates actually used those words to describe the situation. We will have much more on this story a little bit later on with one of the top reporters in the state covering the story. But that is not all that is going on, but that is certainly the biggest story of the day. On the football side of things, a change at LSU. Special teams coordinator Brian Polian transitioning to off-the-field role. He will become essentially the general manager. Could be a new trend as college football is starting to resemble the NFL more every day. NCAA amateurism case roasted by a hot bench in federal appeals hearing. We'll have the latest on that from our legal analyst, Michael McCann. And the story that broke yesterday from Sports Illustrated, college football executives considering major changes to shorten the game. So what are they? Prohibit consecutive timeouts, no extending first and third quarters for untimed downs on defensive penalty, clock runs after first down except inside 2 minutes, clock runs after incomplete pass once ball is spotted. Nothing about the length of halftime or the amount of commercials that run. Ross Dellinger joining us. And Ross, thank you so much for being here. We can't wait to catch up with you on all of this. Tell us more about what seems like a long overdue change in college football. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I don't hold your breath on TV commercials or halftime being decreased. The band directors, I think, would and the band parents and the band members, as you might expect, would not appreciate that. I think it's something that's been broached the last several years. And let's just say it's not going to happen. And then the TV commercials, as you know, Paul, are the you know, the driving factor for TV media rights deals. So that's not going to happen either. So how else officials are exploring, how else can you shorten a college football game? College football games continue to get longer. 3 hours and 21 minutes this past season. That's 5 minutes longer than it was in 2018. It was 3 hours and 16 minutes. So they're trying to find ways, and they've been exploring this for a while, several years. But specific to those four proposals you put up there, they've been exploring those for the last couple years. And last year was pretty serious, but just didn't have enough support, I think, to get the votes to for those to pass. This year feels a little different, partly tied to the expansion of the college football playoff, going to 12 teams, go two extra rounds, eight more games, more head exposures, risk of injury to players. So that's part of this too, right? There's two real main, I think three main issues here, why you would shorten or why they want to shorten a game. One, I think it's obviously fan engagement, audience engagement, attendance, you know, fan experience. You don't want, you know, 1/5 of college football games, Paul, went over 3.5 hours last season. And some years that's 1/3 of college football games go over 3.5 hours. You don't want that. I think the second thing is pace of play, no interruptions, things like that. You want to limit the interruptions. And of course, you know, the last thing is the health and safety of football players, especially with the concussion litigation ongoing. You want to just limit exposure. So these four proposals, the first two that you mentioned, which were consecutive timeouts, you know, that falls in line with the NFL rule, kind of considered non-controversial. A lot of people expect that one to kind of get on through and be implemented this season. No untimed down after a defensive penalty in the first and third quarters, again, non-controversial. I think that will also pass through. It's 3 and 4 where there is some debate, you know, stopping the clock after, or keeping the clock running after a first down, keeping the clock running after an incomplete pass when the ball was spotted. Those are the two that will warrant the most debate.
Ross, assuming that two of these get passed, or all of them, which seems unlikely based on what you're saying, what do you think we're talking about in relation to shaving more time off the game?
Well, the first two you would think won't be really impactful. The consecutive timeouts, I don't know. I mean, how often does that happen? You know, you see icing the kickers a decent amount, but maybe a couple times a weekend you see that, right? The whole untimed down after a first and third quarter is really in somewhat insignificant. So setting those two aside, let's look at Proposal 3, because I think it's got a good amount of support, it sounds like. Where you run the clock after a first down. Again, it would fall in line, that one, with what the NFL does. They run the clock after a first down. Now, college football would have the stipulation of you'd stop the clock after a first down inside of 2 minutes of the halves. They did a study this past season, Paul. The results were that about 7 to 8 plays would be eliminated from a game if you kept the clock running after a first down. So the fourth proposal, running the clock after an incomplete pass once the ball is spotted, would obviously be the most significant. And it could take out, it depends on who you talk to, right? It'd take out 12 plays from a game. It could take out 15 plays from a game. I think there's less support for this proposal. I think there's a sentiment that three of the four, the first three, has a good enough support maybe to pass through, but that fourth one, although it'll get some debate, might not have the support, because you got to think, in a way, it could change football, you know, it could change offensive football, and coaches have pushed back against it a little bit. And so, you know, you could imagine a hurry-up offense if the clock continues to run after incomplete passes once the ball is spotted. That could really change the approach. It could change the game drastically. And again, it could shave off, you know, upwards of 12, 15 plays a game. So that's what we're looking at as far as how much time will be saved.
Ross, before you go, I know we had you on the other day after breaking the story about Oklahoma and Texas. But you are certainly very close to this story. Everybody's speculating on what the permanent rivals are going to look like. Give us the lay of the land on that. Where are we, and how much work is there left to be done before we know how this is going to actually work?
I don't know really how much work there is to be done. I think the SEC's been working on this for quite some time, going back to probably well over a year ago. They've had this idea that the SEC could move to a 9-game schedule. I think you got to break it down. First of all, is it going to be 8 or 9 games? And I think that depends, as I talked on your show last week, does ESPN give additional revenue for the additional 9th game inventory? And if they do, then I do think the SEC probably does go to a 9th game. I think we're getting closer to that answer. SEC ADs meet next month. I think that answer could come maybe then, mid to late next month in Florida. And I think we might get a better answer on 8 or 9. And if they do go to 9, the permanent opponent, obviously, Paul, is the biggest sticking point. I think the SEC would base the 3 permanent opponents, because if you go to 9 games, it'd be 3 permanents for each team and 6 rotational. And I think the 3 permanents would be based on 3 things, right? Geography, primary and secondary rivalries, and then equity, fairness. You'd want to pair things up in a fair way. So I think a lot of the groundwork is done. I think what needs to happen is Greg Sankey and the SEC need to know for sure how much revenue that ESPN will provide for that 9th extra game. And if it's enough, if it's good enough, then I think you'll probably see a vote for 9 games. If it's not good enough, you'll continue to have debate, and maybe the SEC will remain at 8.
Great stuff. Ross Ellinger, always appreciated. Some fascinating conversation about shortening games. And naturally, there is some resistance to progress. Ross, always good to see you. Thank you very much. As we continue here on what looks like a very busy Tuesday afternoon, we'll head to the phone in a moment. A little bit later on, Michael McCann. Carol Robinson, one of the top reporters in the state of Alabama, will be with us with the absolute latest on the unfolding situation concerning Alabama's basketball program. And later on, John Wilner on the future, assuming there is one, of the Pac-12.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We are continuing to follow the story out of Tuscaloosa, and when more information becomes available, we will certainly report that. But as of the hour, Nate Oates' statement is the controlling conversation from that university at the moment. We'll talk to Carol Robinson a little bit later about what her reporting has indicated. Let's continue with Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. I just want to ask you about the NATO situation. I know it came out pretty recently. I'm a Tennessee ball for life. You know, Rick Barnes is a great head coach for us. And I just want to question about Nate Oates' answer. He basically said that boys will be boys, essentially, you know, and he can't control what his team does, you know, outside of practice. I just want to know your kind of opinion on that. And isn't the head coach of a, you know, high major university supposed to, you know, have control over his own team?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of complexities to the story. And we've obviously done as much reporting on it as we can. First of all, why would you ever make a statement like that about something as serious as this? It is really beyond anyone's imagination. It was terribly insensitive, and I mean, he's got his best player right now is being linked to this story. Not listen, you can say directly or indirectly, but you know, he clearly was more involved, far more involved than Nate Oates or anybody at the University of Alabama has let on. And another player was also apparently in the vicinity. And Nate Oates acted like, a couple of guys were horsing around with an open beer can. It's just it's an incredibly insensitive comment, considering how it worked out. But again, I'm just a commentator. I don't have all the facts right now. All I know is what Nate Oates said today, and that's I can make you a prediction though that you've heard some of the criticism of Nate Oates. It's going to go to DEFCON 1 by tomorrow. Once the rest of the national media picks up on this. There's no way that Nate Oates comes out of this well, or his program, just in terms of criticism. Not that that means anything to him or anybody else, but it's a terrible look. And by the way, it was also a story that had gone away. I think the media had reacted very sensitively to the magnitude of the situation 5 weeks ago when it first broke, and that's all going to boomerang today. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. I-Man is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. This is a terrible story in Tuscaloosa. And for what was discussed here today, it seems that three or four basketball players were involved in the intimidating and harassment and some vehicles kind of not allowing the vehicle that the girl was in. I guess the exit was obstructed or something, but there's several players that were involved in the harassment of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, give me 1 second if you don't mind. I just want to read a couple of lines from Carol Robinson's article because I realize a lot of people are just really confused. All we've done so far is share a headline or two. And I can't think of any other better way. Because I'm not proficient with the story like she is. This is her story that just broke. She writes, Alabama's freshman basketball standout Brandon Miller, everyone knows who he is by now, arguably the best player in college basketball or one of the two or three best, brought the gun used on the Tuscaloosa strip killing of a woman that led to capital murder charges for his now former teammate Darius Miles and 20-year-old Michael Buzz Davis, according to law enforcement testimony. Miles contacted Miller, he's the player, Miles was on the team, and asked him to bring his gun to where they were, according to police. When Miller got to the scene, Miles told Davis, the heat is in the hat, according to Brandon Culpepper, who is a detective, meaning that the gun was present. Miles added, there is one in the head. That, Culpepper said, meant a round was in the chamber. Miles moved his girlfriend back to get her out of line of fire. Miller's windshield was struck twice by gunfire in the shooting, police testified. Another Alabama basketball player, Jaden Bradley, was also at the scene of the shooting, according to testimony. So that makes three players based on my accounting. Asked by L.com why Miller was not charged, Tuscaloosa Chief Deputy DA Paula Whitley said, "That's not a question I can answer. There's nothing we could charge him with." Nate Oates, of course, said today that Miller is not in any kind of trouble. So this is, I didn't mean to interrupt your call, but that better explains what we are talking
right.
about here.
Exactly. And you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, and because all of this is as new to me as it is to you. But, you know, at some point, I don't understand why these kids are, and I'm not saying they did anything other than harassing their presence and that kind of thing, because, you know, boys will be boys. And they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. But there may not be anything legally, but had this happened to any other student in school, it would have gone before the student council group, and they would have probably voted these people out of school, and the administration would have went along with that.
Yeah, I mean, let me stop you right there. You've raised a very salient point. Let's forget the law for a second, okay? Alabama has a carry law that where he's 20, so he could legally carry that gun. So that's not an issue. Another question is he an accessory? It's a very thin case, but clearly he's involved, is he not? I mean, he brought the gun that was used in what ultimately turned out to be a murder. So even if he's not legally charged with being an accessory, some other charge, then you have a whole other set of questions. Let's forget the school for a second, okay, I mean? Should sure. he or should he not remain a member of the basketball team, I think has to be asked, does it not?
It has to be.
We have that answer already. Nate Oates has shrugged his shoulders at the whole thing. And then, is there a student conduct question? I have no idea the way the University of Alabama works. It looks like they've known about this from the beginning. How could you not know that they were present? Greg Byrne, who's the athletic director, went with the team on the trip to Nashville. I remember he tweeted some pictures of he and Nate Oates eating at some convenience store or restaurant on the way back. So he's in the loop. Everyone at the university is in the loop. So nothing that came out today, 5 weeks and 2 days after the story first broke, comes as a surprise to anyone on that campus.
Well, and let me ask you this, because we hear about it all the time with coaches winning the press conference. Did Oates win that press conference? He looked really nervous.
No, he looked foolish. There's no getting around that.
You know, I don't know how this works out, but it's not a very good look. And then end of all this, there's an innocent girl in Birmingham, Alabama that's dead that did absolutely nothing wrong. Have a good day.
Quentin is up next in Georgia. Hey, Quentin. Quentin,
hey, Paul,
are you there?
How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you, Q. Good to have you on.
I'm listening to your show, and I just caught it. I got a question for you. I know that the one kid they're talking about, he happens to be a black man, young black man. Are the rest of them of the same race? You know what or not?
Now, Quentin, let me ask you. You're asking, are all the people involved, are the players all black? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let me double check before I answer your question.
Okay. Whether or not, you know, it's been outrageous and it's been out of hand, but we got to do something about these guns, man. We seriously got to do something about these guns. And it really doesn't matter whether the players are black or white, but I'm just speaking
from...
No,
Quentin, I agree with you 100%, but I don't... Remember one other thing about this case. Do you remember what Nate Oates said on his radio show two days after the story first broke? Do you remember
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
He said that he sought counsel from Ray Lewis.
From Ray Lewis.
Who
I mean,
everyone
I just,
is well aware was investigated for murder 20 years ago. Wasn't charged,
I mean,
but investigated.
I don't get it. Well, and then we gotta remember that it's a young lady who lost her life involved in all of this, and we gotta keep her family in mind and keep her family in our prayers. But just the senselessness of it all.
No, you're right. But it there are so many different layers. But ultimately, that's one that they can't be ignored.
Yeah, we gotta pump the brakes on this, man. Seriously. And then for Nate Oates, and the craziest part about it is, I don't know whether or not he knew the full story before he made his statement on his radio show.
I can't imagine he wouldn't have known the whole story. How could you not have known, considering that these two players, in addition to the other two, were there?
Exactly.
I mean, they were there at one point. Let me make it clear.
And then to think that this wouldn't get out.
There have been rumors out there from the beginning about Miller. Rumors that you did not want to report because it would be terribly defamatory to him if it didn't turn out to be 100% true, which now has been confirmed that it is. We're up against a break. A lot to unpack today. We'll talk to the reporter, one of the reporters covering the story in Alabama, and we will be back with your phone calls right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Augie is up next in the capital of Fat Tuesday, New Orleans.
Paul, I thought things were crazy in the Big Easy, but man, it seems like Tuscaloosa is now headquarters of crazy, huh?
Yeah, listen, and you probably have more criminal law expertise than we do, but it does sound like a bad situation.
Hey, I started my law career at the New Orleans DA's office under Harry Connick Sr. And I tell you, you want to reevaluate your opinion of Will Wade compared now to Nate Oates? I know the facts aren't out, but
Help us with this, though, in terms of bringing the gun. I mean, just kind of take us through the chain of command.
It could be a conspiracy if I know these guys, their names, you know, one of them, it sounds like one is Miles, one is Davis. You put them together, you have the Trump player, Miles Davis. So I get confused with the players. But if the guy who brought the gun knew he was bringing the gun for a purpose of what ended up happening, he's involved.
So you're saying the intent matters here.
Absolutely. I mean, Criminal law is all about intent. Murder is about intent. If you kill somebody, it's not necessarily murder. If you set out and you have a premeditated motive to kill them, that's murder, as opposed to manslaughter. So, he could be in big trouble depending on what the DA does in that county. It's going to be I'm not going to say it's a hard case. Of course, the facts prove make your case. So whatever those facts turn out to be. I don't think the guy's off the hook by it.
Well, so let me go over this with you, because, I mean, again, being in the DA's office, you see stuff like this all the time. This is what we know from, and this is according to testimony by a detective, I believe. Yeah, the detective on the case. He said that the facts show that Miles is the teammate that's charged with Davis in the murder, that Miles contacted Brandon Miller and asked him to bring his gun to where they were. So from that point, does it, I mean, what is the responsibility of Miller at that point, just when someone asks you to bring a gun that turns out to be a murder weapon?
Well, if that's all there is, and there's nothing else to show that he knew the reason he was bringing the gun, then, I mean, that makes all the difference in the world. It's like if you're going to the range, and you're halfway through the range, and your buddy's going to meet you there, but you realize you forgot your gun.
Okay.
And you ask him to stop by your house to pick up your gun. I mean, the intent is you're going to shoot the gun at the range. You're not going to assault someone with it, commit a murder with it. I'm sure he didn't say, hey, bring me the gun so I can kill somebody, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that explicit.
Does it matter or does it not? His car obviously was there, so he was. The detective said his windshield was hit twice in the back and forth, so he and this other player were there. So, I mean, if you had to chisel this down right now, is it fairly easy to understand why Miller was not charged with anything?
At this point, yeah. Yes, I can understand why at this point he hasn't been. But, again, it's early on. Remember, Alec Baldwin, how long did it take for them to actually charge it? I mean, they had to dig out more facts, interview more witnesses. I'm sure there's a lot more to be done, I would just imagine. But it's a horrible, horrible look for Alabama. And I've heard the comments that Nate Oates expressed about this, allegedly he expressed. And
No, he said them today. There's no allegedly.
I mean, do you not agree it's sort of trivializing this whole thing?
Yes, I would agree with that.
So what do you think Dale Brown would do in this situation, Paul? If Dale Brown, if this happened to his team, what would he do?
Well, I don't think he would. I don't think he would trivialize it. That's for certain. I mean, knowing Dale for 40 years, he would be more concerned about the victim here than anyone else.
Absolutely, and I just think that all I can say about this whole matter is better Alabama than LSU, because you know we seem to find ourselves in the crazy situations. Not that laughing at Alabama at what's happening, but I mean, it could happen anywhere, and at this point, Nate Oates needs a public relations person to teach him how to engage in, what do they call it, crisis communications, because
crisis management,
rate him an F or a D? What grade do you give him?
It wouldn't be passing. Well, the reason I say that is, until now, I think Nate Oates has handled this very well. And on the most vulnerable day since the first day, he first of all, the Ray Lewis comment was absurd, but then again, that was forgotten about pretty quickly. But today, the story has now come to light again, and it's come to light the fact that his best player on one of the best teams in the country now has an involvement, which Nate Oates admits they've been cognizant of from the beginning, but the rest of us are just learning this today.
Well, exactly, and that's the point, that he knew this was no surprise that it just jumped out of the closet at him today. He should have known this was going to come out, and he should have addressed it sooner. Get ahead of the story, as they say. But, it started off last week, ended the week with killing off Cat Daddy, and now you got this. Who knows what the rest of the week is going to bring, Paul?
We don't. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. More to come. A lot to do on this Tuesday afternoon.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back. Bryce is up next in Alabama. Hey, Bryce.
Hey, Paul, you knew when I-Man called in what he was going to do. Now, did
you? I really wasn't sure.
Oh, come on, Paul. You knew he was going to say trash Alabama any chance he got a chance to do. Now, my opinion is this. Okay, the cops interviewed those people that were involved in the incident, and they liked what they heard, and there was
how do you know they liked what they heard?
I don't know that they liked what they heard because they wouldn't go to press any charges, okay?
Bryce, so, do you have any idea of the difficulty of what it takes to press a criminal charge involving a murder? You just can't just slap it on somebody. It takes a lot of information. And
I understand that, sir.
Okay, well, forgetting that. I'm just a layperson at home here, but do you think this means anything to the University of Alabama basketball program or not? Do you think it's just trivial?
Well, the thing I hate most of all, there was an innocent person who lost her life.
Okay, Bryce, we are well aware of that. There's a dead person here. What about the living people behind?
Okay. Well, that's the case of two people, two cowards that couldn't be man up to each other and settle their difference another way. Now, unfortunately, because
what does that mean, Bryce?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Why did they want to shoot at each other? Why did they just fight it out like adults? You know,
absolutely. Let's fight it out like men versus. I don't know what happened, but there was I think there was a guy. By the way, was there a gun on the other side? Wasn't there shooting back and forth?
Yes, he shot first.
Okay. So, by the way, I'm not trying to dispel your theory. In the end, that would have been a better idea. But apparently the two people who are now in jail, they may have been aware that there was a gun on the other side. I don't have any idea.
That was Bob for protection. I mean,
but my question, though, is at some point, these two guys who are now charged with capital murder, one of them, his teammate, texted the person that we were discussing to ask him to bring a gun. So there had to be a reason why he felt like he needed a gun.
For protection is what they said this morning. That's okay. What the defense argued this morning. For defense.
Okay.
Gary Harris had it on his show. They had breaking news.
Hold on. Let me make sure. Who had it on whose show?
Gary Harris.
Did you catch that name?
You know who Gary Harris.
Gary Harris. Yes, I know Gary. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know what Gary Harris did. It really doesn't matter, but let me bring in William, who is a lawyer, by the way. William of Maryville, welcome back to our show.
Oh, hello, Paul. I finally called in something maybe had a little interest in. I thought Bryce's call was idiotic. I think, and Augie made some good points. I do agree on what he said about intent, but let's play this out. It's a Saturday night. You know, your buddy's out. You're somewhere else, and your buddy says, bring me a gun. Now, one of two things could be going on. Either he's in trouble and he's being attacked by somebody, and you're going to defend him, or he's going to get in trouble with your gun. And, they've got these guys. They must have these guys' phones, and they're sweeping these phones. And who was with Brandon Miller when he got the text to bring the gun? Right. And what did he think the gun was for? And I think that the fact that he was there and he brought the weapon that was used to kill this young lady, I think he should have been suspended. And I think at this point, Nate Oates should be suspended for the way he has covered this up. I mean, bringing the gun to a murder scene is a serious charge, Paul. It wasn't going to the range. They were out on a Saturday night, and his buddy said, bring me a gun, and then he shoots some or gets in a gun battle, and a young lady gets shot. That is very, very serious.
And, yeah, I mean, which I think it makes it even more incredible to think of why, or have to ask the question, why Nate Oates said what he did today.
Oh, I couldn't understand half of it. I mean, Nate Oates, when he's from Detroit, he should have a little better street sense than some of this. But, yeah, the whole thing being in the wrong place. Well, being in the wrong place at the wrong time is when you're an innocent bystander, not a participant in bringing the item that's used in the commission of murder. And, I mean, the fact that his windshield was shot out, I guess, by the guy that was in the car, or the boyfriend or cousin of the young lady that was shot, he is involved in this, and Nate Oates has covered it up because he's his best player.
William, we'll pick this up in a few minutes. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we're out of time. We have another attorney coming on to talk about something totally different, something that's in court right now involving the NCAA. We are back with more after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.